Continue here at Innovate Newport, where the focus is on your health. And we've been spending quite a bit of time this morning talking about brain health and mental health. And who else would we have to talk about such things as our dear friend from Newport Mental Health, Jamie Lehane. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Bruce.
In person. We've been talking on the phone for about the last 20 years. Now, what is this I hear about you retiring?
Yeah, you know, it's been 10 years, and I have 10 days before I am turning over the reins to a fabulous new leader at Excellent. Newport Mental Health, Dana Gladstein, who's here with us.
Dana, it is wonderful to welcome you as the new director of Newport Mental Health. Good to see you.
Nice to meet you, Bruce. Glad to be here.
And, of course, you know the shoes that you're filling here. So much so, you were a news item when your retirement was announced. People are walking around here, and you know, one of my pet peeves is, we say we're so well informed. Nobody knows anything about anything. We're all in our own little silos, and people are walking around here at Innovate Newport, going, "Did you hear Jamie Lehane? We reported on it when it was announced on the news every hour."
So. Somebody at the lunch counter said, "I heard it on WADK."
There you go. You're the talk of the town.
Well, you're not getting all the way rid of me that quick.
Good.
Dana has asked me, and the board has asked me, to stay on in a part-time capacity for, well, what's a better job than the chief strategy officer?
Nice.
So, but Dana's got this. She's been with us, 4 years? And when the time is right, the team she's built, ready to take this and bring it to a whole nother level.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we know that one distinction already for the both of you and for Newport Mental Health is to receive the Certified Behavioral Health Clinic designation. And I don't know a lot about it, so you're going to tell me. But it is something I get the impression that not a lot of organizations such as yours are given.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. Dana, tell them about it.
Right. So it's a certified community behavioral health clinic. Designation. We're working in partnership with the state actually to have the state become designated CCBHC state. And we are able to build out our community services within a funding model and a quality driven model so that we can exponentially increase access to care and community-based services.
Now, that's something that Jamie has brought to the forefront time and time and time again, and we've had many discussions about just that, the accessibility and the need to be where our patients and our clients need to be. So this helps that?
This, in I can list incredible ways. I'd like to take the opportunity to do that.
Sure.
Because I think the listeners might be interested.
Please do.
So we have, we're currently recruiting for 50 additional staff for program expansion.
Wow.
Clinical staff.
50 people.
And I don't know if the community knows that we're open for walk-in Monday through Friday. From 9 to 2 for adults and children. So we call that our access center.
Sure.
In two locations. Well, children in a separate children's center.
Again, people who have heard Jamie on the radio low these many years know that and have been, we've talked about that at length. And it becomes really, to me, not that anybody asked, but the key to what it is that we're trying to do here. I mean, the need has never been greater. The cause, well, we can spend hours and hours and hours that we don't have talking about the cause, but the need is tremendous, and it is always talked about in circles how, well, we have to get the care to people, and if they had only known, and this and that and the other thing.
75% of our services are intentionally designed to work in the community. With this expansion of staff, we're going to be able to get out into the community and do assessments for instance, for older adults that are isolated. And, of course, isolation for everybody right now is
becoming the number one
health problem.
Exactly.
And so we're building out our access services so that we can do all kinds of outreach and assessment in the community. People can walk in, they can call us, They can call us 24 hours a day and get a clinician on the phone, a clinician to respond to emergencies. We have our new Rhode Island Outreach Program, which is a program that's built really to prevent criminal involvement in mental health issues. So decriminalizing.
What do you mean by that?
So right now, if someone calls 911, it goes to a dispatcher, goes to police, come, and quite often the police that we work with very closely, it gets escalated because the police have a strategy and behavioral health has a strategy, and they're two separate strategies.
Sure.
The police strategy is that they come in and they make a decision on the safety. Our strategy is knowing that there are resources and strengths in the people that we're serving, and that we could use those to strategically and clinically to de-escalate the situation in the moment so that police don't have to be involved.
Can they work together?
They absolutely work together.
They can work together.
It's a synergistic, it's a continuum of service and very synergistic. And the police and the behavioral health sector in Newport and the hospital, the other providers, the no wrong door providers, we are all working together to support this. And we get 300 to 400 calls. The program's only been in existence for a year. We're already getting 300 or 400 calls a month.
Right. So we're using kind of a structured decision-making protocol. When 911 dispatchers, who's working with us, we've actually had the SIMS conferences, when they see that this is either a criminal matter or imminent danger, and the word imminent,
yes,
then they will dispatch either with us or by themselves, but usually with us,
okay,
with our clinician, our mobile crisis clinician level. When it isn't imminent danger or a known criminal matter, they are now dispatching our Rio vans. We have three vans,
yes,
with an EMT medic, because often what happens when the police gets on the scene, the person is drunk or,
sure,
or acting bizarrely.
Under the influence of something.
Or just talking to themselves or agitated. The de facto is to call the rescue and send them to the emergency room for an evaluation, either medical clearance and or psychiatric. We can now do that assessment, the medical clearance with our medical specialist, and then we can engage them. And the beauty of these vans is we can actually now transport them real time,
yeah,
to where they need the care, whether it's our walk-in center or whether it's crisis beds, BH Link, or whether it's to a detox program over the bridge. We can transport
anywhere
them, and hundreds, yeah, of calls that are being responded to as we're...
It's a tremendous building resource. It's a tremendous resource. Now, this is at the point of trauma, though. This is at the point of rescue. This is at the point
yes,
of intervention.
Yes.
And it's a crisis situation, and it's,
yes,
a tense situation.
Yes.
So to your points about law enforcement needing to deal according to their procedures, behavioral health needs to deal and wants to deal in terms of their priorities and their protocol to de-escalate.
Right. And we have the time to do it. Because this is a grant-funded program, and now will become a CCBHC program, they don't have to bill the insurances.
Sure.
The police have the other calls.
Well,
and so we can spend all the time it takes.
We have peers that,
right,
that work with the people that we're working with in the crisis. We de-escalate and we stabilize. That stabilization period could last 3 days.
Sure.
A person could be getting all kinds of wraparound services in their home. You know, they could be staying with a friend. Whatever works for their stabilization, that unique plan gets immediately ignited upon their intervention.
Excellent.
And the likelihood of that person now having a crisis situation and getting into ongoing treatment,
mm-hmm,
because it's continuous care, it goes up.
Dana Gladstein, incoming director, Newport Mental Health. Jamie Lehane, icon.
Oh,
yes.
Right? So,
Old man going on his boat.
Not at all.
Icon. I vote icon.
But let me ask you this now. What do you say to those people who say, are you replacing the police?
No.
Oh, God,
no,
they love it.
Because that's a fear.
Yeah.
Well, not Newport County police chiefs. They are.
I'm talking about the folks. I'm talking about the citizens because it.
Oh, and the citizens don't want the police if they can avoid being arrested and they can get treatment instead.
Well, I've heard, and this is not a Newport. This is not anecdotal from Newport, but in other cities where this approach has been taken, not with the care that you're talking about from a behavioral health standpoint, by the way. But the behavioral health component is severely missing. But there is a movement in some cities to keep the police away, to not have police respond to these things for the reasons that you describe, but without the behavioral health component. So it becomes a free-for-all, and the citizens are upset about this.
Yeah, that,
so please address that.
Every community, so I want to just say, every community is very different. We did not develop this in isolation. We are doing this in complete collaboration with our municipalities. And we are working with a grant from the federal government to do sequential intercept mapping. We already had the training.
What does that mean?
It's basically an evidence-based model to look at the different places that behavioral health situations have a connection to usually the criminal justice, mm-hmm. to see what are the resources that need to come together so that the outcome is treatment.
I understand. That is a real world answer. However, is there not a societal issue where it has become not allowed to talk about neighborhoods, to talk about people, to talk about ethnic makeup of people who are involved in these activities. What you just said addresses that, but you're going to run up against a lot of people who are going to say, oh no, we're not supposed to talk about that.
Well, the difference here with our partnerships, both with our communities we serve and with the police, we've built a bridge in relationships, the trusting relationships with our county police department. We've been putting clinicians in their dispatch centers response for 25 years.
These people I just spoke about don't live in the police station. They live in other governmental buildings and institutions.
When people
and they're in charge of the prevailing wisdom.
When people know you're here to help them, the whole equation changes. And because what CCBHC and programs like this allow us to do is we're building relationships with people in the community before the crisis blows up. And so we're a known, trusted quantity. Our vans, someday they're going to wrap them with the logo Rio on them because they're state-supported vans. The purchasing takes a year to put a thing on it. But we want to be known as a
are you going to become this? You've got to become this kind of John Madden thing
better
going
than
on
I
here,
am.
Dana.
She's much more.
That's why I have to pay to keep him around. We're going to have some excitement.
We need the bombast. We need this.
That's why we're great bookends, right?
Yeah,
we complement each other.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Believe me. I do want to, and I want to take some extra time here with you folks today, and it is so great to have this time with you, Jamie Lehane and Dana Gladstein, Newport Mental Health. So let's back up a little bit and talk about the before, and talk about finding and identifying these situations before they become situations. We're hearing now about situations, not in Newport once again, but about a terrible incident that took place. Where now people are coming forward and saying, well, I knew that this individual had this problem and that problem and this problem. Is what you're talking about able to address that?
I think that the model for Rio and the continuum of care that we built is actually going to address that.
Good.
Because what's happening is we are able to give concrete. So we have partnerships with 10 other large providers of services, mm-hmm. in Newport County, and we work collaboratively through this no wrong door approach. And the opportunity to actually work together gets heightened when you can actually give resources to the planning. And now Rio has those resources. So how does that drill down to offering more connection to those people? Is we have identified areas where people collect throughout the different communities that we serve. And this Rio program also serves East Bay, so East Providence and Bristol County. And that's why we have three vans.
But way beyond Rio, that's what the Certified Behavioral Health Clinic approach in funding, a sustainable funding. Before, we can only see you in a clinic and had to bill an insurance company. This model through Medicaid allows us to do that outreach. So when you have a kid, like often young adults or that are struggling, the parents don't know where to turn. We now have the ability to work in the home with the family and not just do an appointment. We can come back as many times to engage, to help support what's going on before that crisis happened, before that kid blows up and goes to school with a weapon.
Yes.
So this is really the heart of what the whole city, we're expanding children's and adolescent services. The need is so great, but it's not just, therapy works, but you gotta get that kid sitting in an office. We're getting out in front of it.
And you have to have whatever support network. Everybody's got people.
Right.
Everybody knows something. Everybody sees something. There, and we've seen it, unfortunately, after the fact, time and time again. Well, you know, I saw this and that and the other thing 6 months ago, but, well, you know. And that needs to be addressed. And right. Again, this appears that it's
very non-threatening because we don't have to, first of all, there is not a badge, a clinical title or anything involved in this work at the front end with Rio. So if any community member called and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. A parent calls, we can go out. Let's meet your son. Let's talk. If he won't talk to us, let's talk to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So yeah. If a neighbor, I could tell you a case. We have a neighbor who for years lived next door to someone who had long-term serious mental illness and complex issues. And she developed a relationship with this person and felt very trusting and understood the range of his behaviors and They were good friends, actually. And then she noticed little changes in him. And she called us. We were able to avoid a hospitalization for that person. We were able to
change the medication. And who knows what else?
And who knows what else? So,
I hate to say it today, but, I mean, it's
very,
there.
We now, with CCBHC, we now have a very fluid ability to give a, you know how the rhetoric around meet the person where they are and give them what they need. We can actually do that now because we don't have to say, is Medicaid paying? How much is Medicaid paying for this? Because we're already losing 60 cents on the dollar for every service we provide. So going through transforming to a CCBHC takes care of 80% of our book of business in a way that is going to allow us to engage people differently, because we never, you couldn't ever get it paid to engage anyone. So
We are on the 5-yard line to have this program implemented statewide, not just in Newport, but 8 geographic services. And it takes what has been the community mental health center model. So we are one of the 3 first for the state to implement. We were doing this for 6 years because we were getting competitive pilot grants from the federal government. Yeah. We've now helped the state adopt this as a statewide. So everybody throughout Rhode Island will have a center like ours that can go out and do this work that we're talking about today. Our Horizon Healthcare partners, Thrive Behavioral Health in Central and Community Care. We are the first 3, but they have the next cohorts of the rest
next
of the state,
cohorts.
Gateway, Providence Center, that are all going to get rolled out. The governor put $80 million, now only half of that is state general revenue dollars, in the budget. Hmm. So it's got to get approved for July 1 to kick this off. Otherwise, it'll just turn into another Rhode Island program that, that atrophies over time.
I got you. It's it is tremendously encouraging, and it is filled with hope and is so vitally needed, really. Is there somewhere where we can go to find out more about CCBHC?
You can go to our website for information, and people can. We have a 24-hour line, 846-1213.
That's for help.
That's for help.
You can go on our website, newportmh.org, or you can go on the state EOHHS.gov and put in the search engine CCBAC, and all kinds of information. And the other page, federal, this is on fire across the state.
And
Congress, the country. Eight pilot states were funded initially about 6 years ago. The results were tremendous. Tens of thousands more people getting help, higher quality, good outcomes. And then Congress has just passed to roll out 10 more states every 2 years till it crosses the country.
Amazing.
Rhode Island is going to be in. We're applying for the next 10 for October 1. Right now, the state has seen it and is doing it with their own funds.
And amazing. I just want to say, if someone's having an urgent need for behavioral health intervention, they can also call 988. And if they live in Newport County or Bristol County, Rio will respond from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Excellent. Excellent. It's there. And, you know, it doesn't get the attention. We don't know what we prevented, because that's not...
It's hard to prove the negative.
Yep.
I always say that.
But or in this case, the positive. So,
but the... I mean, the negative that...
What you mean. Yeah. Being clever, that's what I did.
But the fact that our data shows that we have increasing calls, even without any marketing... the word is...
It's on the street. This is the place to get help.
That's the place to be.
The other thing that's exciting is Rhode Island is leading on this for the whole state. The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Rick Charest, is a champion for this. The Speaker of the House is champion. Marvin Abney, all our local folks, Lou DePalma, they have been partners in bringing the behavioral health system up to the cutting edge. So we got to give credit where it's due.
It's the most encouraging thing we've heard today, and I want to thank you both very, very much. Dana Gladstein, we wish you the very, very best.
Thank you.
Jamie, you go do what you're going to do. Stick around. Go be on your boat and sing your songs. And
well, thank you, Bruce. I'm going to miss these shows.
Well, me too. You come back anytime, all right?
All right.
Tremendous. Here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540.